On Monday of this week, the existing Farm Bill expired. Under the leadership of Democratic Michigan Senator Debbie Stabenow, a new Farm Bill has been drafted and actually passed by the Senate in its original form. The measure is considered by some to be a major reform package that will do away with some archaic methodologies and move the business of agriculture forward. The U.S. House, though, took the measure and divided it up, removing the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program and setting that up as a separate measure. The SNAP program is what provides food stamps for those in need. It usually amounts to about 80% of the farm bill. When the House sent it back to the Senate as two separate measures, the Senate refused to go along without the SNAP program included. So at least for now, we appear stuck. If the farm bill fails to pass this time around, it's going to be held off another year. And summer warning, the consequences could be dire. Good morning. I'm David Fair, and this is WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment. On the first Friday of every month, I'm joined by Michigan League of Conservation Voters Executive Director Lisa Wozniak to explore a topic of environmental importance. For the month of October, this is that day. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, David.
And our guest today, very special guest.
I am delighted and honored to welcome to the show U.S. Senator Debbie Stabenow. First elected to the Senate in 2000, Senator Stabenow has been reelected twice since then to represent the great state of Michigan. With a long history of public service, from service in the State House and the State Senate, as well as the U.S. House of Representatives, Senator Stabenow's leadership was taken to all new heights in her second term when she was handed the gavel of the incredibly important Senate Agriculture, Nutrition, and Forestry Committee. In this role, our senator has won bipartisan praise for her deep understanding of agricultural issues and the intersection of food and farming with conservation and the protection of our air, land, and water. Welcome to the show, Senator.
Well, thank you, Lisa. It's great to be with you and David as well, talking about one of my favorite topics and how we both have safe, affordable, healthy food, but also protect our land and air and water, as you said, and create jobs as well.
Well, agriculture is the second most important facet of Michigan's economy. It's a $37 billion business in Michigan, and what many people don't recognize is that this state is also the nation's most diverse state in terms of crops, with the exception
of
California. That said, what are the implications of this 2013 Farm Bill for our wonderful state?
Well, once we get it done, and I have, as you both know, we've actually passed it twice in the U.S. Senate with over two-thirds of the Senate, Republicans and Democrats, working together. And it's, I would argue, the most reform we've ever seen in a farm bill, because we're cutting subsidies that have gone to farmers just for growing a particular crop rather than supporting them when they had a loss. So we're taking away the subsidies. We're capping the amount of subsidies or help that can be received, as well as who can receive it. You have to actually be working on the farm, not sitting in an office somewhere. And we are redirecting more dollars to farmers markets, local food systems, creating what's called food hubs in communities where local farmers can join together, create a simple way for the local hospital or restaurants or schools to be able to purchase local foods. We're expanding school gardens across the state. So there's not only healthier food in the cafeteria, but young people are learning new skills and new appreciation for developing, growing food and doing science and nutrition and math projects related to that. And conservation, which, of course, is something I care deeply about, as I know that you do, is a major part of this bill. Folks think about, of course, when you say farm bill, they think agriculture, very obviously critical. One out of four jobs in Michigan is connected in some way to agriculture. But the largest investment that we all make together as Americans in protecting our land and air and water is done through this thing we call the Farm Bill, the conservation title. And so we strengthen conservation, we simplify and streamline it so it's easier for farmers and ranchers and other conservation groups to use. And we create something I'm very excited about, a new regional partnership effort where we're going to be able to put significant dollars into protecting the Great Lakes. and this will be done through the Farm Bill.
How were you able to get to this compromise, Senator? I mean, there's $24 billion in subsidies that have been cut out of this bill. How are you able to get there?
Well, I started just from, rather than talking about programs, I was talking about principles. I said to everybody, let's look at what the goals ought to be, what the principles of an agricultural policy and food policy ought to be, and not just hold on to some individual program that somebody created somewhere. And so we said, okay, there ought to be a safety net so a farmer doesn't lose the farm if there's bad weather they can't control. So when we have our cherry growers, last year pretty much got wiped out when it warmed up too early and then froze again, lost the cherries. That makes no sense, not only for them, but for us. To have farmers who are in the riskiest business be put in a situation where they have no risk management tools, as we're calling it, or no safety net. On the other hand, if you've got a great year going, taxpayers shouldn't be just giving a farmer money just because they're growing wheat or corn or rice or peanuts and so on. So once I got everybody to agree with that, then we could look at the farm programs. And so that's once we did that, we said, okay, let's eliminate the subsidies that aren't related to loss or risk, and let's strengthen crop insurance.
Let me take that in a little different direction. Throughout this bill, when you're talking about risk management and supporting farmers in that endeavor, it seems to have climate change written all over it without ever saying the words climate change. Was that kind of a compromise to get these measures in there?
Well, there's no question that protecting our soil, you know, we have what we call conservation compliance, tying together farm programs with conservation programs, we have saved 295 million tons of soil every year now. And the more we have soil on the ground, the more you are protecting carbon. The more we have trees that are growing, the more you are holding and protecting carbon. We've had 3.3 million acres of wetlands that we have saved through the Farm Bill. And when we look at whether it's open spaces or wetlands or runoff of pesticides in the Great Lakes or doing new kinds of soil protection programs, no-till soil operations, or, again, saving forests or whatever, it's very much about keeping carbon in the soil, in the trees. It's about protecting our water. I mean, it all goes together. And frankly, you know, if we don't have these volatile swings in the temperatures, which are affecting our farmers, and when we see the cherry growers see everything heating up unusually quickly in March and then freezing again, that's as a result of climate changing and the intensity and the swings in the temperatures. When we see water levels going down the Great Lakes, it's the same thing. So the good news is that, you know, supporting farmers to do the right thing, to protect their land and soil and water and so on, is tackling climate change, and it is also protecting our way of life.
Really. Any reason we didn't want to use those words in the drafting of the bill?
Well, we didn't just because conservation has been there for a long time, and it really is, you know, it wasn't something new. I mean, we certainly talk about it. I've done hearings on the volatility in the weather and climate change and the committee. Certainly farm leaders in Michigan, in fact, are putting together their own efforts to talk about what's happening in the climate changing and how it's affecting agriculture. Farmers are probably more vulnerable than anybody else to the swings that we're seeing. But thank goodness, I mean, conservation practices have been in the Farm Bill for a long time. We're just strengthening them. And the good news is that rather than seeing the dust bowls like we had back in the 30s and 40s in Oklahoma and other places where the soil was swirling around and leaving the farm, this time when there were droughts last year, the soil stayed on the ground because of conservation.
You're listening to WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment. I'm David Fair, and my co-host is Lisa Wozniak. Lisa is Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. Our guest today is Michigan's junior senator. Debbie Stabenow is a Democrat and chairwoman of the Senate Committee on Agriculture, Nutrition, and Forestry. We're talking about what some are calling historic reforms in the 2013 Farm Bill and what it means to the business of agriculture.
The conservation compliance piece of this truly is historic, Senator, and I'd like to go back to specifically talking a little bit about water as it is part of this. Runoff from farms is clearly a huge problem. There are areas in Michigan where water bodies are so damaged that swimming or other interaction with the water is truly dangerous. I think of Lake Makatawa in West Michigan in particular, and it is said that this is very likely linked to farm runoff. What provisions specifically in the conservation component of this will address the runoff issue for as it deals with farms?
Well, we have a number of ways in which we partner with farmers to share the cost of doing the right thing, dealing with runoff, whether it's a livestock operation and changing the feedlots or the way they are managed to deal with runoff. We've seen our cattle producers, dairy operations, pork producers, and so on, who have benefited greatly, as have all of us, in terms of water resources by aggressive efforts. And now there haven't been enough. You point out rightly that we have serious issues that we have to address. So what we are doing is adding dollars to those kinds of efforts, buffer strips, managing. Some are fairly simple kinds of things that can be done. Because they cost dollars, we partner, and in many cases we'll say, because we all benefit by protecting the water, we'll pay half that cost, or the farmer will match half of it to be able to do these conservation efforts. We've added new efforts in Lake Erie, for instance. We know about what's happening over there, as well as all of our lakes.
Dead zones and major algae blooms, right?
Major algae. And so we have increased the conservation efforts partnering with farmers there. So these are efforts that have worked. We just need to see more of it.
When you say partnering with farmers, are you talking about the small individual family farmers in and around the lakes? Or are you talking about these mass large industrial farming operations, or both?
It could be either. I mean, it's really both, because both, you know, obviously the bigger the operation, the more risk to the water, more risk to the land and air and so on. So what basically we have done through the USDA, U.S. Department of Agriculture and Cooperative Extension, of course, our great, my alma mater, Michigan State, the great leader in this, is to say, let's work with farmers to do the right thing, share the cost so that they can afford to do the right thing, because we all benefit from that, and make it easy to do. And that's one of the things that we have done in this farm bill. We took 23 different conservation programs, cut it down to 13. Now, we didn't cut what they do. We just streamlined, reorganized, and then we put it in four different subject areas with a lot of flexibility. And it's going to be easier to do the right thing.
The other component of agribusiness is those who provide the supplies. And I want to make sure I'm very clear that this is in no way directed at you personally. But many criticize both chambers of the legislature of being bought and paid for by Monsanto and like-minded companies, making sure that true agricultural reform only happens if it protects their bottom lines and ability to increase the stronghold it has in the industry on product and services. How do you respond to such criticism?
Well, I certainly appreciate the concerns that people have. I will tell you that the agribusinesses get no subsidies from our farm bill. And so ours go to farmers, people who are actively engaged in the farm, and it's, quote, not a subsidy. It is crop insurance. It's you get help if you have a loss. You get a, you know, under crop insurance, you get a bill. You don't get a check. And we work with farmers to make sure it's affordable, but they basically pay for a portion of that insurance, and then they don't get any kind of help unless they have a loss. And it's like any other insurance. You don't get 100% of the cost of the loss. So, you know, you get 70 or 80% if you are an orchard grower, an apple grower, and you lose your trees as a result of weather damage. The federal government will reimburse 70% of the cost of those trees. So the farmer is paying insurance and paying, 30%, or basically losing 30% of the cost as they're trying to figure out how to replant their orchards. So it's a combination of things. But what we do, agribusinesses are not getting subsidies. You're not getting a subsidy just for planting something. If somebody has a loss, we all have a stake in making sure that we have a strong, safe, affordable food supply in our country. And by the way, it's the largest area of exports that we do around the world. So, we have a stake in it, but we change the way we do business in this farm bill. Some of the reason I think we've had such a hard time in the House is that, frankly, some of the folks want to continue to get those subsidies. They won't ever say that's the reason, but they want to continue to get those subsidies, and so they've been causing us problems in the House. But we have overwhelming support in the Senate. We have enough bipartisan support to pass these changes in the House and put in place, again, a new paradigm. We triple the amount of resources to farmers markets. We help families that need food be able to buy fruits and vegetables. We make sure that we allow small farmers to be able to come together in regional food hubs to be able to have a way to market and sell their products locally so people know what they're buying. They're supporting local farmers. So we see a major shift. Is it everything I would do if I was writing it by myself? No. That's the art of governing. But it's the biggest move and shift I think that we have seen ever in agricultural policy.
Well, once again, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, that seems to be the sticking point in the House of Representatives. And fact of the matter is, if it doesn't pass through the House and Senate and House don't come to agreement, then this farm bill basically expires, and we have to wait till next year to get a farm bill passed. So is it going to happen?
I believe it will, because those of us working together who care about this are sitting down and working together. I can't predict what happens in the U.S. House of Representatives, given everything that's happened. But if the Speaker will allow this to come to the floor with Democratic and Republican votes, we will be able to get this passed. It needs to be passed. We need to have long-term policy for farmers and ranchers, conservation programs, critical food, nutrition, and new opportunities for jobs in bioenergy as well. There's a whole range of reasons why we need to get it done, and I'm not going to stop until we get it done.
Well, let me interrupt you just for a second. We're talking about all the benefits if it does pass. Very quickly, our time together is running short. What are the consequences if this bill does not pass?
Well, at the moment, as I've been saying, we're on fumes. The bill has run out, but we won't see negative impacts really till about January. Then we'll see the impacts of 1940s subsidy policies that kick in with milk prices going up and so on. And it would be outrageous if the House Republicans let that happen.
So there, in concluding, Senator, and thank you for your time, there are over 1 million Michiganders who rely on the food nutrition program. Farmers markets are thriving, and double-up food programs are thriving as well. For those who are listening, what would you encourage them to do to help move this forward in Washington?
We need a strong message that we need a comprehensive farm bill that has both support for farmers in a disaster and families in a disaster. I'm not going to support anything that changes eligibility for folks that need temporary food help. We're willing to, just like we are in every farm program, to create more accountability savings if we can tackle fraud and abuse or duplication. We save $4 billion in our bill by doing that, but we don't eliminate help for people who need it, nor will we. So, we need to make sure that we have something that both is there as a safety net for farmers and a safety net for families.
Well, Senator Stabenow, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate your efforts on our behalf today.
Happy to be with you.
Thank you very much for joining us, Senator.
Take care.
That is Michigan Senator Debbie Stabenow, who guided the bipartisan effort to create the 2013 Farm Bill. At this point, we are still waiting on House approval. And if it fails there, it will be another year before the Farm Bill can be passed. This has been WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment. My co-host is Lisa Wozniak, the Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. And Lisa, we'll see you next month.
I look forward to it, David.
I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU.